feel like God is saying, go for it. So we're going to go for it. If you would, open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. That word blessed means extremely blessed. Amen? Extremely happy. Yeah. It's not just kind of like, yeah, that's nice. It's like, extremely blessed are you. Extremely blessed are the pure in heart. That word pure means simply without blemish, clean, undefiled. Blessed are those who are clean and undefiled in their heart, for they shall see God. As you know, that when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about the pump in our chest, right? We're talking about the seat of the emotions, the person, the very innermost being, and our mind, our will. And it's that part that thinks, that feels, and decides. It's the place where we really have been designed to communicate with God. It's in the most secret place, if you will, of the heart, where we hear His voice. The intellect needs to come under submission to the heart that is submitted to the Holy Spirit. So our heart needs to be under the authority of God for our mind to be in alignment with what God is. How many know that God uses our mind? Hello? Yeah. We don't throw our mind out the door. But the mind has to come under submission to the Spirit of God. And number one, you and I, we cannot purify our own hearts. Right? I think many of us have tried to do that. Many people are trying to do that through all kinds of different means. Purity of life does not provide a pure heart. You can live a pure life and yet not have a pure heart. A pure heart produces purity of life, true purity of life. There's a difference between legalism and grace. Legalism says, do this, 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 and this, and this, and you'll have a pure life, a pure heart. But that's impossible. Because there's one thing that we cannot change, and that is our heart. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me today? Okay. The heart is transformed by a work of grace, amen, by the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to get this thing in right order, because everything begins with worship. Everything begins with you and I communicating with God. The Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. From the very core of our being, that is the place where God meets us, speaks to us. Occasionally we may hear a voice, even an audible voice. That happens rarely, but to some people, and I question if they're always hearing audible voices, you know. Could be, but I would definitely be seeking out an answer for that, making sure you're listening to the right voice, right? Because there's a lot of voices going on out there. And God gave us this word so that we could know Him. Not so we could win a Bible debate, but so we could know Him. And because we cannot purify our own hearts, holiness is something that we receive. Amen? Not achieve. It's something we receive and not something that we can achieve by our own good works. See, good works will follow a heart that is in right relationship with God. But they do not proceed. They do not produce a heart that's in right relationship with God. They are a result of a heart in right relationship with God. So extremely blessed or happy are these people who have a clean heart. You know, in the Old Testament pattern in the temple, it had to be cleaned. Everything had to be purged with blood. Amen? And anointed. And so God is looking for clean temples so His Holy Spirit can work in and through us. Amen? God is looking for vessels. He's not looking for superstars. He's looking for yielded vessels. He wants to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. It's not about the guy with the robe, amen? It's about you and I in covenant with God, in relationship with God, obeying His voice. Holiness is the fruit of God. It's not the fruit of self. It's not something we achieve. It's something we receive. It's something that we are saturated with, if you will. We absorb holiness. We absorb Him. When we are filled with Him, we are filled with holiness. Because He is our holiness. It's Christ and not me, you see. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. Woo! It is God who purifies the heart by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the blood of Jesus that we can receive a cleansing. And our part is simply, once again, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. As we cooperate, God just does awesome things in our lives. Is there a witness in here today? James 4 and verse 7 tells us how, really, this takes place. Therefore, first of all, James 4 and verse 7, submit to God before anything else. If we don't get this in right order, if we don't do this first, we're wasting our time. Come on, right? We can get busy with all kinds of Christian things, doing things, nice things, good things. But if we're not under submission to God, we're wasting our time. Because it's when we submit to His authority that we receive instruction from Him, and then we're doing that which He is telling us to do, and not just good things. We want to do God things. We want to do right things. If you can submit yourself to God, stay in that place, stay in that, amen, that place of humility where you are setting down your agenda that you might take up His, then you can resist the devil. You see, people want to resist the devil with an unsubmitted heart and they get beat up. Come on. We can get arrogant. If we submit ourselves under His authority, then we have authority against the devil. People that have authority in the Spirit are people who are under authority. And that also goes with those who God has placed in our lives here on the earth. There are certain people that God has placed as fathers over us in the Lord. All right, would you agree? It's a safe place to be is undercover, under accountability. That's God's pattern. It's God's way. And so if we're under authority, and ultimately that means God's authority and the authorities that God places in our lives, that also goes for the law, right? It goes for the police officer, the teacher, whoever else it might be. If we're under that authority, then we can come against our enemies knowing that that authority is going to be backing me up in it, you see. So we've got to start from first base before we can go to second. We've got to get this place where we submit ourselves. We make up our minds, we repent. I say that I am no longer going to do my thing, do it my way. I want to know God's way. I want to know God's will. I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to get a hold of God until I'm hearing His voice clearly and I'm getting my assignment, because when He speaks and I speak, it's going to come to pass. It's not just what I want to say. It's you and I lining up with the Father. There's a short time that we've been allotted here in this world. And we all want to bear fruit. There's not a believer here that doesn't want to bear fruit. Draw near to God. This is an instruction for you and I, you see. Draw near to Him. It's something you and I do. How do we do that? How do we draw near to God? Okay. Spending time in His Word? Yeah. Loving Him? There's so many ways, right? It's all in the book. But we ultimately, we draw near to God. See, the Father is looking for worshipers. It's worshiping. Worshiping is not just singing, but it's part of it. Psalms 100 tells us, this is the temple pattern. Come before His presence with singing. Amen? And enter His gates with thanksgiving. So, enter with the password, thank you. Huge. It's huge. Because when we're ungrateful and we're not reflecting on God's goodness and we're not thankful, then we don't have praise in our hearts. And without true praise, not manufactured, but true praise in our hearts, we don't have His presence. And with His presence, there is fullness of joy. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to Him. That's something we need to take the initiative to do. Daniel set his heart to seek the Lord. And the very day that he set his heart to seek the Lord, the angel had already been on the way. The answer was on its way. There was a little bit of a hindrance in the heavenlies, but God had already released the answer because he saw his heart, that his heart was poised. It was in the right position. He had gotten in position to receive from God. And then he receives with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's huge. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's what we do visibly, outwardly. Things that are more obvious, right? And purify your hearts. Now, again, it sounds like it's something that we need to do. Purify your hearts. Well, it is, but how do we do that? By cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit who purifies the heart. Amen? It is the blood on the altar, hallelujah, of the heart. Jesus alone has the ability to purify. Amen? Through the Spirit and the Word and the blood. The Spirit, the Word, and the blood. And as with a clean and a pure heart, now we're in the place, amen, for God to say, you can have more of me. But you got to first allow me into the attic, allow me into the basement, allow me into those places that you're holding back on. Because we can shout and say, Lord, fill me all day long. But if we don't have a heart that is obedient and that wants to repent and do the right thing and get right with God, you're only going to get so much because He's not going to dwell in an unclean place. So we want to be delivered. We want to be set free, amen, from defilement. And it's a simple thing if we could just listen to the voice of God when He says, hey, you got to knock it out. Amen? Knock it off. Do it. Like Mary said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. And you'll have the blessing, the favor of God. Purify your hearts. That also means intellect, folks. The mind has to be cleansed, has to be purified, has to be renewed. Romans 12, right? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The Word of God, the washing of the Word, getting the Word into us. Hallelujah. Transforming, changing our thinking. Not only getting the Word into us, but declaring the same Word over our lives. As you speak the Word, it begins to shift and change things even in your atmosphere and your environment. We are not to be controlled by our environment. We are supposed to control our environment. We are to set the climate that we want to live in. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have hard times or bad times. We all do. But it does mean that you don't have to be crushed by these things. Because you can have, even if it's raining outside, the sun shining on the inside. You can have joy. Sorrow may be for a season, but joy does come as a result of that. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I believe that hell is populated with people who refuse to forgive others. And Jesus said, unless you forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. That's how serious it is. We must forgive other people that trespass against us. We are instructed in Scripture, however, to, even though we cannot purify our hearts, God does that, we are instructed to guard our hearts, protect our hearts. Amen? Proverbs 4:23, guard or keep your heart with all diligence. Protect that part of you, for out of it spring the issues of life. And you guard your heart by guarding your thinking. You guard your heart by guarding your thinking. You guard your heart by protecting yourself from allowing things to come in through the eye gate, amen, and through the ear gate that you should not. Come on. Because the devil's, he's out to destroy, and he has no authority in us except what we give him. And the only time he can take authority away from us is when we bow down to him. Other than that, he has to go. We're under submission to God. We have authority over him. He has to go. It's not an option. He has to go. But we can give him legal access if we rebel against the word of the Lord and what God is telling us to do. And so we're told in scriptures to clothe ourselves in him. And we clothe ourselves with his presence, not our goodness. We come to God by faith. What do? We plead his mercy and his grace over our lives, Hebrews 4:16. We come to God boldly, what? Confidently, to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us. We have to take the initiative to come before the Father, to do what he's telling us to do, get things right. Blessed are the pure in heart. Extremely blessed are those who have an undefiled heart, a clean heart, for they shall see God. Wow. Now we see God in the face of Jesus Christ. Be careful about those who say that they see the Father. The Bible is very clear. He lives in inapproachable light. His glory is so powerful that we see the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. Just like we cannot look directly into the sun, it would blind us. But we see the reflection. We know the sun is there at night because we see the fullness of the moon. John 1:18 says, "No one has seen God at any time." But listen, the only begotten Son, that's Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. What did he do? He revealed the Father through the word that he spoke. He sent his word, you see, and it opened our eyes that we might perceive or understand in our hearts who the Father is. We get a picture of the Father through the word of the Lord that is spoken. But he says no one has seen God at any time. Jesus said in John 6:46, not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Jesus sees the Father. Amen? Jesus reveals the Father to us. We come to the Father through Jesus the Son. In the name of the Lord we pray. Amen? Someday the pure in heart, the redeemed, those who, amen, have been washed in the blood of Jesus, those who are possessed with the Holy Spirit, are the ones who are going to see God. There is coming a day. 1 John 3:2 says this, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and yet it does not yet appear, or has not been revealed, what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall what? See him as he is." Now, and everyone who has this hope in them, that they're anticipating the day that they're going to see God, they're going to see the Father, does what? They will live in purity. They will make sure that their heart is clean. They will make sure that their garments are on. They will make sure that they got oil in their vessel. And they're alert and they're watchful. And when the call goes out, they're going to say yes. I hear his voice. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. How many here are looking forward to the day when we see God in all of his glory? Folks, let me ask you something. If that is not a delight of your heart, then you need to really question why. That is usually an indication. All right, come on, I'm just trying to say it nicely. That if that terrify, the thought of seeing God terrifies you, you need to get your heart right, and you need to get it right today. Because you don't know if you have another minute on this earth. Are you trying to scare me? Well, you better be scared if you're not right with God. Because it's a scary thought. It's a frightful thing, fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Amen? That's the Word of God. New Testament. How do we see the Father now? We see the Father in the face of Jesus. But we see Him by faith. We see Him by faith. Now, John 14 and 9 says, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. Jesus said, "If Philip, I've been with you this long. Have you not recognized Me? I am the express image of the Father." That's what it tells us in Colossians, right? Colossians 1:15, He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, I've heard of people who have had testimonies where they've been to the throne room, and I believe that God does that. He takes people into the throne room. I mean, we are there in the spirit, but not necessarily where we're seeing it in vision form. Or actually literal in some cases where people have died and they've gone to the throne. But the testimonies I hear of that are people who, when they had got there, they saw maybe a bit of His hand or His foot, but they could not look in His face. And I heard a testimony recently of someone who said that they went to heaven and God showed them that people that went to hell were people that literally cast themselves into the fire because of His holiness. His holiness was so intense and so great and so awesome that they could not, they literally just threw themselves into the fire. God is so holy, and it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we know this already, that we can enter into His presence. Not only that, but we can come in freedom. We can come in liberty. We can come as sons. Amen? Not as slaves, but as sons. We can rejoice. We can come into our daddy's house. He loves us. God is love. God provided atonement for our sins. A way out. Amen? A way to be forgiven. A way to be made right with Him. We can come to our Father's house and we don't have to be afraid anymore. If your heart is right with God, you'll have peace. And this is the confidence that we will have in the day of judgment. Just as He was in this world, Jesus, so are we. Because we're walking with the Father. We're doing the things that Jesus did. We're about our Father's business. Isn't that a good place to be? About our Father's business? Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart. I love having a clean heart. I love having a clean conscience. Amen? I like having peace in my heart. How about you? And if something disrupts that peace, I got to deal with it, man. I just can't stand it. Don't wait on it, all right? Deal with it as soon as possible. Yeah. So, don't allow the enemy to steal, to rob you of your joy. Amen? Don't allow him to lie to you anymore. God so loves the world. Amen? I mean, loves. That He's already provided a way out. It is finished. Jesus paid the price. Now we can come confidently by the blood of Jesus into the throne of grace so that we can receive mercy, amen, when we mess up. Come on. And grace, His power, to be clothed upon. That is our goal, is to be clothed upon, amen. To be clothed in His righteousness. To turn away from self. Turn away from works. Turn away from what I do to what He's doing and aligning myself with that. Shah. Thank you, Jesus. Purity, amen, of life does not produce purity of heart. You need a pure heart to have a pure life. A person who has a pure heart will have a pure life. That's the distinction between those who follow God and those who do not. A person with a pure heart will have a pure life. Those who are walking in the Spirit. Come on. John told us, this is how you can tell the difference. It doesn't matter what we confess, it's like, are you right with God? I don't care what happened 20 years ago. Are you right with God today? Only the pure in heart will stand on the day of judgment. Because an unclean heart is unacceptable to God. Revelation 21:27, but there shall by no means enter into it, New Jerusalem, heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 20:15, and anyone not found written in the Lamb's book of life or the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Psalms 24:3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Listen, he who has a clean hands and a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol? They are not choosing a Jesus of their own. They're not trying to transform God into their own likeness, into what they want him to be. But they are submitting themselves to who he is. He does not change. Idolatry is fashioning a God to suit yourself. But he who worships the true God, amen? And has not sworn deceitfully. They're not those who make claims. They're not those who come to God and say, God, I'll make a deal with you. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. And they did it deceitfully, knowing in their heart that all they want is a bailout. And as soon as they get the bailout, it's back to sin again. They're swearing deceitfully. But when we come to God, we must come with a heart, amen, full assurance of faith, knowing that He loves us, knowing that He died for us, knowing that Jesus paid such a price for us, that how dare I any longer live according to those things, amen, that broke His heart in the first place, that made it necessary for Jesus to have to go through what He did for me. I no longer want to live that life. That man is dead, and every day when you get up, just say, you're dead. Yeah. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. And then live according to the new man in Christ Jesus. He shall receive blessing from the Lord. Who? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. Folks, this was a psalmist, David, right? But he's speaking of the blessedness of you and I today in the new covenant. Are you hearing it? Because righteousness is not by works, it's by grace. Purity of heart will produce purity of life. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him. Oh! This is Jacob. Who's Jacob? Israel. Who's spiritual Israel? You and I. Together with Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male nor female. Amen? All who call upon the name of the Lord in righteousness, who have repented of their sins, have given their life to Jesus Christ, who seek your face. We have the privilege to come into the throne of our Father and to do so confidently, not because we were so good today, but because we receive what Christ has already accomplished for us. We receive the blood as atonement, amen, for payment. I believe and therefore I receive. People who really believe the report receive him. And those who receive him and those who come to him, he said, I will in no wise cast out. Are there any redeemed in the house this morning? Listen, I want you to bow your heads this morning. And there are times in our lives when, you know, we just need to get an attitude adjustment, for lack of a better term. We need to get things straight. We get off track. All of us do. And right where you're at, God's been speaking to some of us this morning, and you need to listen to that voice that's been speaking to you. If there's any unforgiveness today, you need to call that person out in your mind's eye, in your heart's eye, and say, I let you go. I forgive you today. No longer will I hold this against you. I release you from it. You're free to go. I forgive you in Jesus' name. Father, call on Him. I thank you for forgiving me. Fill me with your righteousness. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. If your heart's not right with God, now's your opportunity. While you've heard the message, while the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you see, it's not whenever we decide. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Is God drawing you to repentance? Do you realize today that your heart is not where it needs to be with God? That you don't really have a pure heart? There's junk there, there's stuff there that needs to come out. I want you to confess it to God. Be honest before God today. Just be honest. And confess your sins to God right now, right where you're at. Just confess them. Get them off. Because He's faithful and just to forgive you. He wants to forgive. Because He loves you and He wants you to be with Him. After you confess and you ask Jesus to wash you in His blood, invite Him in. Come in, Lord. And I want you today to invite Him into every room, every place, every closet, in the attic, in the basement. Say, Lord, I give you all of me. I want my whole being full of your light. I don't want any place dark in me. I'm asking you to deliver me from evil. Set my spirit free that I can truly worship you in spirit and in truth, knowing today my sins are forgiven. You receive today what God has promised you in His Word, forgiveness. The debt's been canceled. If you are honest with God today, the debt's been canceled. You go on. You listen to His voice, submit yourself to God. And then when the enemy comes against you, you'll have no option but to leave. You just tell him where to go. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Can I get everybody just to stand?